This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbred on a glorious sunny day here in the High Tatras area of the east of Slovakia. My name's Eric Wiltshire, and I'm in the town of Potbred, which is why we call it Postcard from Potbred. It's the sideways look at the news, and we'll say hi to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, Audio Boo, and you wonderful folks on RTI. It's the delectable duo this week, because Mark's away on holiday with the children, because it was an annual day in France yesterday. It's Lee Banks.
Yes, and here I am, ladies and gentlemen, at the height of the summer in the UK too. And it's absolutely freezing. I've got my boot and my coat on. I'm huddled round a glowing log fire and I'm still freezing. And it's raining and I still can't use my hose pipe. What a wonderful country I live in.
Is it not sunny there then?
It is freezing. It is dark. It is grey. It is rainy. It is winter.
Uh-huh. Right, okay. Well, moving along then, as we've just sort of embellished ourselves to the entire world with your horrible weather forecast, nowhere near as good as Prince Charles.
The weather forecast.
Why?
I know, I'll tell you what, when we talk about the Olympic flame, man, that's going to be go out.
Yes. Will. I'm going to have to move on, Lee. I was devastated this week when I heard the news that it's last dance time for Donna Summer. The 63-year-old from the US who, well, I've got my hairs on my arms are standing up when I say this. Hits including I Feel Love, Love to Love You Baby, on the radio as well. She sadly lost her fight to cancer this week.
That's right.
Donna was an amazing lady, and I described her on the internet as the queen of disco. Not only has she won 5 Grammys, but she was also nominated for a total of 17. You know, it's just amazing. And she was from 79, Last Dance, 80, Hot Stuff, 84, He's a Rebel, 85, Forgive Me, 1998, Carry On. And then for the nomination, 79, MacArthur Park, that brilliant remix. Absolutely brilliant remix. Uh-huh. Bad Girls was 80. She got loads of nominations for Bad Girls. Dim All the Lights was also 80. On the Radio, 81. Love Cold was 82. I Believe in Jesus was 82. Protection, 83. Love is in Control, 83. She Works Hard for the Money. That was a great track and a great album, 84. And then moving up right the way to 2000, I Will Go On With You. And then, of course, remixes as well of her music. And as you quite rightly pointed out to me earlier, Lee, Giorgio Moroder was there with her as well as a producer. Unbelievable.
That's right. What fascinating. I've got to hold my hands up, and most people who listen to the show will realise that disco is not my favourite form of music.
Heathen.
But I did like her. Well, he's not being a heathen. He's
Luddite.
Having a bit of style.
Luddite.
He's having a bit of class.
Luddite.
Yeah. Disco was for... Well, it was anyway. But Donna Summer was a phenomenal performer. And what an absolute tragedy to lose her so young.
Yeah.
And if you think... She's classed as a disco recording artist, but she wasn't. She won, as you're going through the list, she won R&B vocal, the best R&B vocal performance. She won rock performance, vocal best rock performance.
Mm.
Everything. She did gospel. She did inspirational music. She did everything. She was a really inspirational, if I may use that word, perform.
What absolutely.
Absolute tragedy.
Absolutely.
And to think that it might have been caused by the dust cloud from 9/11.
That makes it even worse. Kylie Minogue said on her Twitter feed, one of my earliest musical inspirations, R.I.P. Donna Summer, the legendary Quincy Jones. Rest in peace, dear Donna Summer. Your voice was the heartbeat and soundtrack of a decade. Well, I'd add to that, Quincy, several decades. LaToya Jackson, I Feel Love, Hot Stuff, Bad Girl, She Works Hard for the Money, On the Radio, Last Dance. What a great contribution to music, Donna Summer, with a heart behind her. The comedian in the UK, Sue Perkins. Ah, Donna, I Feel Love, R.I.P. with a kiss. Martin Kemp, the famous actor and musician, R.I.P. Donna Summer. And moving across to one of the rock artists of all time, the guitarist Slash, on his feed, it says R.I.P. Donna Summer.
She was, and Adele dies as well.
No, because he likes her. She was the queen of disco, no doubt. Although I pretty much loathe disco, I always thought she was pretty cool. And I think
that's exactly what I said. I agree with Slash. She was the queen of disco, and disco's a pretty loathsome type of music.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I have to say, Donna, wherever you are now, I thank you personally, because you're one of the ladies that actually kick-started me in the entertainment business. Back in the days of Cinderella Rockefellers, playing this, whipping out a 12-inch single for the girls. Sorry to be so
whipping out the what?
12-inch, 12-incher for the girls. Sorry to be coarse. doing things like the Ales.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're showing due respect to the dead again, aren't we?
Aylesbury Civic in front of 5,000 people.
Did you duck?
I did. And again, it was Donna Summer, Donna Summer, Donna Summer. An amazing lady. Amazing. You could guarantee it, Lee, if you were in a nightclub and some piece of music just didn't work, which is a DJ's nightmare,
right.
You'd whack on Donna Summer and you would just fill the floor again. She was a dance floor filler, absolutely. She would pack the place wherever you went.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter whether it was a wedding, a party, a nightclub, whatever. You put on Donna Summer and the floor was crammed. And tell me that there was nothing in it. And anybody that says that she didn't contribute to music, I'll tell you what, people from 7 to 70, I've watched them dance to Donna Summer. Mm-hmm. They might be a bit iffy when they were doing the dancing, but Donna, you got them on the floor and you made people happy with your music. And that's the most important thing. None of this morose stuff. You just made people dance. I should get some of your albums out again, my darling, because I could do with the weight loss at the minute.
I think you should do it as driving music. Her music actually was even driving music.
Well, it is. It's absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And the interesting thing I found as well, I was looking up some of the demographics of people that are buying her music recently before she died.
Yeah.
And it's youngsters.
Of course it is, yeah. Disco, to me, is a complete anathema. I have no time for it or anything. But I respect Donna Summer. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, people who like good time, good music mm-hmm. will continue to buy her. She will go down in the annals of history mm-hmm. with lots of the really good artists, and she will be remembered, and quite rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean disco's any good.
I guarantee you every school's night out disco that is around the world will feature Donna Summer for donkey's years. Absolutely, they will.
Yeah.
Another tragic loss this week was a member of the Kennedy
family.
Lee.
I know, what a tragic family that is, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
And he says that it goes on. It's gone on for half a century.
Yeah.
Already, the tragic deaths of this family, one of the richest, most glamorous families in the world, and yet their life has been punctuated by awful, awful tragedies, assassinations, plane crashes,
mm-hmm.
and now the mysterious death of Robert F. Kennedy's Jr.'s estranged wife, Mary. Absolutely terrible.
It must be really painful for a dynasty like that which should have absolute glory, where they suffer so much. I don't get it.
Well, it is, and like I say, it appears to be endless.
Mm.
You know, if you think about, all right, you know, certain aspects of it you can sort of pin down to the fabulous wealth of the family, like you know, the lad who was kidnapped and had his ear severed, like the fact that one of them died in a plane crash. Well, those are all wealth linked.
Mm.
And the great excesses of members of the family, alcohol and drugs and things like that.
Yeah,
but it doesn't explain the basic fact that this is a very, very tragic, very unlucky family.
I've got to ask you, though, and again, it's not being detrimental to the dead in any way, shape or form.
No.
I'm just wondering if many other families around the world who don't have that public profile equally suffering the same way. And I'm certainly thinking of, you know, of families in the old days of Eastern European countries who suffered dramatically.
Yeah, that's right.
And yet they didn't get the publicity. And So I'm not saying they're, you know, anything negative towards the Kennedy dynasty. But,
no, of course not.
I think we should also remember that there's so many other families that suffer in the same way. Just don't get the publicity.
Absolutely. But right. Like I say, I think you have to bear in mind that the Kennedy family have lived, the whole of that dynasty, as you say, have been the equivalent to a Harold Robbins novel. They've lived this ultimately fabulous, glamorous life, which is like something out of a storybook. So obviously their tragedies are going to be more dramatic than a family in a war-torn country. And they're going to make more publicity, more people are more interested in it. And, that is this celebrity thing that we all admire in this world. We all deny we admire it.
Oh, but that's it. I tell you what, you ask a teenager what they want to be when they grow up, they'll just tell you, I want to be famous.
You ask an old man like me what he wants to be when he grows up. Famous.
I know. Well, you'll never grow up, so that will never happen then. Another sad loss is, and somebody you probably won't know, but I do, was a gentleman called Chuck Brown, who mixed so many funk soul tracks in what was colloquially called go-go music in the 70s. I wouldn't say that. It's more like R&B to me. But anyway, Brown, who was 75 when he sadly passed away, just carried on playing as a regular musician. He's another one of these guys. It didn't matter how big the audience was, 5,000 or 5,000, he just enjoyed playing. And he was one of those amazing stars that if you look back into the days of, you know, funk, northern soul, jazz funk, the early days, there'll be the Chuck Brown influence in there somewhere. And as you can probably tell, boys and girls, Lee doesn't know what the heck I'm talking about, but I played loads of it because it was in the clubs.
I admired Chuck Brown. The difference between disco music and what Chuck Brown did is that, like you say, it was a mixture of funk and soul. And something else that I really admired was that he was one of the pioneers of mixing Latin styles of music into modern music. He was the godfather of go-go.
He was a good fusion artist.
That's right. There's the word, fusion. That's it.
I'm doing really well this week. It can't continue.
You're very articulate for some reason.
I don't know why. I was discussing this with some work colleagues and also Lee this morning. We've decided that this...
Oh, you see how I get separated?
Well, yes, because you're on the radio with me, darling, and they're not. That we decided that this week is one of those weird weeks where it's like nothing gets done, everything's stressful, the whole world's a disaster, and yet you just get yourself through it. And actually, half of you feels as flat as a pancake. I nearly said a naughty word. And the other half of you feels high and elated. And it's really weird.
I'm deliriously happy. My whole world is collapsing around me in the rain and the freeze, and I'm just delirious. It's like I'm a split personality. Part of me's miserable, the other part's happy. But the happy side's taking over.
It's a wonderful
world.
Anyway, it seems to me that the bastion of fighting for radio globally now seems to be RTI. Recently, we've been punching away for the Voice of America, which is under huge threat of cuts. And then this week, even though I bothered to write to the BBC Trust and tell them what stupid things they were doing, they completely ignored me. And
that wasn't recently, was it?
No, it was over a year ago when people, the BBC Trust actually did write to lots of people in the music industry and entertainment and radio industry. And for some bizarre reason, they wrote to me as well. And I got this email saying, would you like to comment on what you think we should be doing and blah, blah, blah. So I commented and they've done the exact opposite, to be quite honest.
So it's your fault?
I suppose if you put it like that, yeah, I am. It's my fault. Should we change the subject? quickly.
I think what they're doing is absolutely ludicrous.
So anyway, what's happened this week, boys and girls, is the BBC Trust have done... Now, let's just put this into context. This week as well, the audience research figures have come out in the UK showing that BBC local radio stations have grown over 260,000 new listeners in the last quarter. The BBC Trust comes out and says, Well, that's marvellous. We should chop them all down to about 50%. Basically, they're going to join them all together in the evenings and have one programme called England or something. And then at night time, they're going to relay the medium wave station 5 Live on their FM network, which means you'll be able to hear 5 Live on about 20 transmitters frequencies at the same time. So this made several of us rather unhappy. And it also has to be said that I spoke to some former colleagues when I was associated strongly with the BBC, who said, can't we do so? I can't do anything. Well, obviously they can't because they're under contract. So I said, well, that's all right. I can do something. So we came up with this idea between us all, and we've launched a page on Facebook called BBC We Say No. And the reason for that is we don't want the BBC local radio stations decimated. And I have to say, with respect to some of the guys out there that were former colleagues of mine, the programming on the BBC locals would get me jumping off the top of the Tatras without a parachute. I don't understand it, but I know the market that it fills.
And, well, and that was the point I wanted to go on about in a minute.
Because it does fill a need for a huge group of people, and especially those that are on their own and people that like local community issues. And notwithstanding all that, these are the same people that are actually paying for the BBC.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I thought we'd just start this all off before we get onto the ranting stage, because less than a day ago this all came to pass, and in under a day, and I couldn't do all of the messages because we'd be here for hours. Here's just some of the comments from people who pay, notice BBC Trust, hello, people who pay for the BBC. In other words, they are paying your wages. Mm-hmm. The people that are paying your wages says things like this. And this is from Graham. Well, that's just another 263,000 people the BBC Trust and the BBC executive will beep off and never give a damn. I agree, Graham. They won't give a cost. They won't give an absolute cuss, but there is a possibility, which I'll come on to later. Simon says, it's a shame that some programmes are going, although I'd rather be happy listening to Rod Sharp on 5 Live, your turncoat, and that would be better than some generic music show from BBC Manchester, etc. Why the BBC locals are so heavily staffed? That kind of explains it. When us commercial lot have to survive on very few staff. Tell me about it. Well, you don't need the staff today. There's computers about. All they got to do is teach some of the BBC management how to turn them on. Arthur says, well, weren't BBC locals set up as recommended in Lord Anan's report to replace the pirates, all bar one of whom were regional rather than locals? What we are now getting is another part-time national station trying the impossible of being all things to all people and being nothing to anybody. The country has the services it wanted at the end of the 60s, and like most else, we are happy with what we were given, not what we wanted. The Reithian spirit is alive and kicking. And if you don't understand the final bit, Lord Reith had his own views, didn't matter what anybody else said, he would just go and do them and get stuffed everybody else, even though I stood under his picture. Steve, I never understood why BBC local radio, and for that matter BBC national radio, is so overstaffed. It's not brain surgery. Same goes for much of commercial radio in Britain too. Dave says, oh dear, looks like it's 100% Radio Caroline for me again as they carve up the local radio, just like it used to be. You would have thought they would have learned something after all these years. And he's put a little I'm upset slogan behind it. Stuart says, simply local, please. Dan says, has the word local been removed from the radio dictionary? I don't know, Dan. I presume it has. It's been censored in the BBC Trust. Ray says, I agree no to the BBC England show during the evenings. We want to keep our local shows in the evening. Kirk just simply says, I love 94.9 BBC London, which is rather weird doing it on a commercial radio station. Don says, this has been developing for a number of years, but ever so slowly. He has one favourite programme, which is Roger Day in the South. Perhaps it's time to flex our muscles. At least we have some rights when it comes to the BBC and its output. We pay for it. You're right there, Donald. I don't.
Exactly.
I don't at all. Dave says, in a time of commercial radio has wormed its way into providing local services, the BBC, instead of grasping the opportunity to fill the gap by expanding local quality and content, it's doing the exact opposite. You couldn't make it up. I suppose you're right there, mate. Graham says to us, and there's only a couple more. I have to do another bleep here. Graham says, smug beep, with an S on the end of it. The most telling phrase in the report is due to the contraction of commercial local media in many areas of England, the local speech service offered by BBC Local Radio occupies a unique place in the market. Graham concludes, so we'll decimate it. How true. Because in the report, it actually says, Lee, that the BBC locals are doing a great thing, and then they're chopping them in half, which I don't understand.
Well, I understand, and I back this argument completely. But I have to say, and this is probably puts a bit of a spoke in the works, that actually the standards of BBC local radio are appalling.
Some of it is,
and what they should be doing, is instead of appealing to just Will Young, Daniel O'Donnell, and Phil Collins fans, they should be widening that and appealing to other people as well.
They could.
It's really,
I agree.
They've got to play each program has got a playlist of about five records that they play over and over again. And really, the BBC should, instead of being starting to look at axing this, should be doing something to make it better.
Yeah, put on strip programming. It's rather like those two lovely ladies up north in England who've won, get this, from a BBC local station this week, have won a Sony Radio Award. It's one of the pinnacle awards for anybody in broadcasting. One lady's 90 years old, the other one's 86. They go into their BBC local radio station daily and they talk. They talk about local issues. And
That's what it should be about.
Yeah. So you can't do it with an England programme that covers the whole country. James adds, I've never been a fan of BBC National Radio, but their local stations do a great job. I say leave them alone. Jeff says, sadly, very few commercial stations provide local content, even those not called Heart or Capital. And Jeff has the privilege of working for one of those, which is truly local. And I'll give it a plug, Jeff. It's Jackie in southeast London. It's a great radio station. It really is. If you want local content, listen to Radio Jackie on FM in southeast London. Kathy's more than happy to join this page. We say no to the BBC. Graham, another Graham says, local news and info, very important, especially when driving around. How else can we keep informed? I can tell you, Graham, what happens is there's never a snowstorm, there's never a rain problem, there's never any ice on the roads from 7 in the evening till 6 in the morning. The BBC have decreed it. And that's how you get, that's how you get around that problem. And finally, this goes from comes from Bear. Hello, Bear. Once again, the BBC's total ignorance towards a huge swathe of the population. Unbelievable. And I've got loads more. We won't have time to do them all. I will do one more because it's just personal to me. Peter says, it's a bleep shame that these decisions have been made. We want Roger Day to stay on BBC Radio Kent. And I agree with you, Peter. I agree. Now, Lee, both you and I have done local BBC radio.
I do quite a lot, really.
With different, well, you're not going to do any now, mate, because the evening shows are all going to disappear. So that's the end of that one. And I think this is another point that the people that live in ivory towers just don't think people listen to the radio in the evenings. And they jolly well do.
Of course they do. There's a show I do in the, I haven't done it for a while, but on local radio Shropshire, BBC Radio Shropshire. Good programme, gets loads of listeners, and is quite a challenging, quite a funny show. And that, but I still maintain that part of the problem, and this might be the perception that the BBC Trust has, that BBC local radio, particularly in the evenings, isn't very good. Well, instead of axing it, well, go back to what I said before. Make it better. Make it better. Give them more records to play. Give them more freedom to
Yeah, but
to
Lee,
whoa.
Fundamental problem.
What?
If you want to have
it's
a music...
BBC.
It's the same with commercial radio. If you want to have a wider playlist of music on the radio, what you have to do is have somebody that likes music. You don't need a robot programming the computer that makes the music come out of your radio. You want a human being. You also
That planning thing has always fascinated me. Why would they want to play continuously Daniel O'Donnell, Phil Collins and Will Young?
Because they do audience research and they go, they phone you up and they go, do you like that, Lee? And you go, yeah. You have a choice. Yes, yeah. I'd listen to one like that or I'd tune away.
Right. And if I say no, then they wouldn't take my opinion into consideration.
Correct. Basically, that's what happens. The majority of the plebs win the votes. So they say...
And so it is by... That is all done by people having no opinion, really.
Then, of course, that gets fed back to the music programming people.
Yeah.
And they go, look at this, boss. We're doing it so well. The people love our music. Let's continue playing this. And because the bosses have been... Because the boss is a bean counter and has no idea about radio or entertainment, he goes, oh, well done, lads. Have a bottle of champagne. Didn't you do well? What's actually happening is...
That's a lovely BBC for you, isn't it? Yeah. bit of bubbly for getting it, for playing Phil Collins, yeah.
Yeah, get it completely wrong and you're a genius. As has been proven many times with the BBC, with Radio 1 in the 70s, BBC, JLR, etc., etc. So what I'm going to say to you, boys and girls, we've put a whole bunch of these comments up on our Scribd account. And you can find that from the website.
I put it up and it's going insane.
I'm not surprised. And so you can read what people are saying. This is one of the things about radio, which I do know. And I know this from years of experience. I know a lot of you will sit out there, you'll enjoy the programme, you'll probably tell your mate down the pub about it, and that's it. And we don't expect any more from you. As long as we've kept you entertained, that's marvellous. We don't get praise because that doesn't happen. But in this instance... I want you to stand up and fight a bit and just say no. It's facebook.com/BBC We Say No. It's really easy. BBC We Say No. Join it if you think that's a good thing to do. And also share it with your friends. And this is the reason why. Six Music last year was under threat. We did a big program on it here, and 60,000 people joined the Facebook page. They didn't close Six Music, did they?
They didn't.
No. So our target, boys and girls, with your help, because I can't do it, Lee can't do it, we need to get facebook.com/BBC We Say No, as humanly possible as it can be. Enormous. Then we'll go to Mr. Cameron and everybody else and go, oi, mister, you got it wrong. The easy way to cut the wages bill at the BBC is to get rid of some of the executives that don't know what they're talking about.
You know what's just struck me about this?
What? I'm ranting. Oh, we got to go, Lee. We got to go. It's the end of part one. We'll be back in part two in a second.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.